Hi, good evening. Let's stand as we sing Cornerstone. Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less, Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the same.
Savior's love through the storm. that you may be seated at the congregation. Allow me to give some fresh instructions. Please pay attention. In our offering tonight, everything that goes in the plate is going to go toward Brother Bubba. Now, there are some church offering envelopes in the pew backs, as well as the love offering envelopes. If you are desiring to give your tithe, your offering, put it in a church offering envelope, and we will surely honor that, and it will be secured for your offering. But everything else is going to go to the revival effort. And so be mindful of that tonight. If you have any question about it, please ask so that you can be sure. Let me pray as we offer up this offering. Father, we do acknowledge today that you have been Jehovah Jireh. You have provided for our needs, and Lord God, that as we come together and we prayerfully seek your desire and your will for us, that we will also turn around and be generous to give for this servant who's come our way and sharing word with us. We pray, Father, that you will bless this offering, and that, Lord God, it would further your kingdom's work. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that it is to be able to give and to know that you will use it that blesses the kingdom work. And we pray these things to your glory in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Before we do Behold Our God, I just wanted to explain one thing to you because I'm wanting you to help us out. It has three verses after each verse, and then we get to the bridge. When we get to the bridge, you will see, "You will reign forever." That's for the men to sing. And then in parentheses, under that, it will be, "Let your glory fill the earth." That's for the women. Okay, so if you could help me out on that when we get to the bridge. Men sing the top, women are on the bottom on in the parentheses. All right, so let's lift us up to God.
Oh, Thank y'all. Amen. Let's pray together. Our loving Father, you rule and reign from heaven, and there is no one like you, God. No one loves us the way that you do. You love us, Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross for us, and not just for us, but for the whole world. Thank you for loving us, God. And Holy Spirit, thank you for bringing that truth into our lives with faith to believe. We love you, God. And thank you for this church family. Thank you for these who are here this evening. You are here. We are gathered in your name to learn of you. In this revival, we desire that each one of us would experience a wake-up call by learning of Christ by the Holy Spirit for the glory of God our Father. And only you can make that happen, Holy Spirit. You're our teacher tonight. Guide us into all truth is our prayer. In the name which is above every name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and hallelujah. I learned to say amen and hallelujah because reading the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 19, the 24 elders and the four living creatures know that it's about to happen. And the last thing they say is, amen and hallelujah, and the sky horse with Jesus comes back. So I like to think that that we can bring it on by saying amen and hallelujah. And of course, y'all know that means praise the Lord. And amen is a Hebrew word that means it is true. I believe it. Amen. Well, thank you for being here this evening. I enjoy the yesterday and lunch today and supper tonight. And so and I bring you greetings from my wife, Beth, who couldn't be here. She wanted to be here, but some illness happened and she couldn't. Also bring you greetings from our two sons, Ben and Dan, their wives, Kelly and Shanae, our seven grandchildren, six granddaughters, one grandson. And Beth wanted to have a little girl. The Lord gave us two boys. And now she has granddaughters. And when they were little, after we were, for different things, she said, I think the Lord knew what he was doing when he gave us boys. These girls are a lot of drama involved with these girls. You could just, Ben and Dan, they tremble. But anyway, and also bring you greetings from our church family, First Baptist Church, Kingsville. They are praying for us. They're really praying for me to not mess it up. Because I've told them about you already. I think I mentioned this already, but 3 years ago when I was here, it was in May. And on Wednesday night, we concluded, and Beth and I was driving back out to Breckenridge Park for our RV. And my phone rang, and it was one of our good friends that we've known for over 50 years at First Baptist Kingsville, Frank Bowman. And I said, Frank, I hadn't talked to you in 10 years. What's going on? He said, our pastor just resigned. Are you available in June? He just jumped to the bottom line right away. And I said, and that began the ministry that we have now at First Baptist Church, Kingsville. I was interim there for about 9 months. They formed a committee, didn't get any resumes. And then so I was kind of the default. So anyway, they called us. Beth and I moved back to Kingsville, which is where we started out 54 years ago. Well, let's open our Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter 3. We're in this series on a wake-up call. And Sunday morning, we saw Mary Magdalene and this disastrous disappointment that she was experiencing, and what brought her to her spiritual senses was The personal touch of Jesus Christ calling her name, that was her wake-up call. And her life was never the same again. It completely, all of her disappointment, and made all the difference. We looked at the humility of Jesus Christ. Each of these wake-up calls is an element, an aspect, a quality of Jesus Christ. Because He is the wake-up call. He is revival. And that's why we're focusing upon how His personality, His character, the quality of His life revealed in Scripture addresses all variety of occasions for a wake-up call, which means the occasions that get us away from hearing and seeing the spiritual reality of Jesus Christ with us. Remember Mary Magdalene? Jesus was right there. She didn't even recognize Him. She didn't even see Him. She just saw a gardener. And so the same thing can happen to us. And with humility, that occasion is a pride, self-centeredness. It stops up our ears and blinds us to the spiritual reality of Jesus Christ. And so we want to learn how to humble ourselves. And we can. And I gave you the assignment to comb through the gospel and find the scenes of Jesus where He was humble. In other words, where He was under the authority of God. And I hope that you'll do that. Then today at noon, we looked at the holiness of Jesus Christ with the same routine. Now, I brought a little booklet for one. There's 40 scenes of the life of Jesus from the gospel. Some of them are scenes of His humility. Some of them are the scenes of His holiness. Some of them, the scenes are of His faithfulness, what we're looking at tonight. Some are scenes of His compassion, we'll look at tomorrow at noon. But they're available for you if you want one. I've got 30 of them out there. But I also gave the copy to Tangi, the secretary, so she can make copies. If you don't get one, talk to you. Raise your hand, Tangi. No, everybody knows you. Are you kidding me? She'll make you a copy. And it's out of my book called True Worship. It's the last 40 days of True Worship. It's a self-published book, so I own the manuscript, and I can make copies of whatever I want to. And so they're available for you to have as an aid to help you to consider Jesus Christ, to think about Him, to set your mind on things which are above, to seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, to set your mind on things above, not on things down here. Because the things down here will distract us from the reality of Jesus Christ. Well, as I've already said, we're in Hebrews chapter 3, one of three verses I'd like to refer to on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. So Hebrews 3 begins like this. We're holy brothers. That's kind of talking about how we're called saints. We're holy. You who share a heavenly calling, consider Jesus Christ, the apostle and high priest, who was faithful to Him who appointed him, just as Moses was also faithful in the house of God. The rest of that passage, the writer of Hebrews will talk about how Moses was a servant in the house of God, but Jesus, so much greater. That's the phrase that's all used all through Hebrews. So much greater as a son of the house of God. But here's the point. He was faithful. Jesus was faithful. The next passage of Scripture, if you want to look it up or write it down, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. as the Apostle John is bringing greetings to these seven churches that he's writing to. He says, I believe it's verse 4, grace and peace to him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful and true witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. And he goes on to talk more and more about Jesus Christ. But here's the first thing that he says about Jesus, the faithful and true witness. And so we want to concentrate our gaze. We want Jesus Christ, because the wake-up call to faithfulness is for those that realize in my life I'm inconsistent. That's the thirst, the occasion, the thirst of I wish I could be more consistent, more faithful. And that's one of the definitions of faithfulness, is consistency. Now we're going to follow the same little simple outline. What is the meaning of faithfulness? What does it look like in the life of Jesus? What does it look like in our life? And how can it happen? How can that transpire and be transformed into becoming more like Jesus? Well, of course, you know the word faithful means to believe, which helps us to understand the meaning. You've got to have a word before you have faith. Can't have faith without a word. And of course, when you say you're faithful, the question is, faithful to what? What word? Because there's a lot of words out there that we have. A lot of trying to get us to believe this and to believe that and to believe we need this and to believe we need that. We want to hear a word from God. That's what we want to believe. But then when you hear a word from God, you've got to decide whether you believe that word or not. It must be a word coming from a person. A person and a word in order to have faith. It precedes faith, that word. And then you make the willful choice whether you believe that word. And what will help you is knowing the source, knowing where it comes from. When we know it's from God, we know it's the truth. We know it's eternal. And we can count on that word. Well, what does it look like? What does that word, that when you respond to that word and believe, what does that look like? And the short answer is, it looks like action. There is an action that takes place. Of course, Hebrews chapter 11 is called the roll call of faith. You're familiar with it. It begins, I love the way it begins. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance means the foundation. You don't see the foundation, but you see what the foundation is holding up. And I learned from an engineer, a friend of mine, that when you're looking at a building, you can know this. There is that much material and a little bit more that you don't see under the surface. The architect and engineer of I call it the Space Needle, but the in San Antonio hemisphere, the Hemisphere Needle. When we were living down there at El Indio, Ben was a little guy, Dan was a little guy. We were driving into San Antonio. They're from El Indio. That's a little place in between Eagle Pass and Laredo. Anyway, as we were coming in San Antonio, Ben was just starting to notice things, and he said, "Wow, they have a big water tower." He saw that Hemisphere Needle. Well, the guy that designed that, he said, underneath that's like an inverted mushroom. He said, you wouldn't believe how much concrete's underneath that hemisphere. Well, that's what this writer of Hebrews said. Now, faith is the substance. What is below the surface, below the left shirt pocket, below the surface of things hoped for, the evidence. What is the building above it? Of things not seen. By it, the elders of old received their commendation, their witness. Not that they gave witness, but they received their witness. In other words, God was the one that witnessed of them, gave them a commendation. And then verse 3, by faith we understand. That's how we understand, by faith. There's a revelation that takes place of eternal truth that you can only see and understand by faith. And then the different ones are starting to be listed. Abel offered a more perfect sacrifice, a better sacrifice than Cain. And you start listening to the roll call and they'll say, by faith, did something. So what does it look like? It looks like an activity, an action that has followed that word. And it's, for us, it's a promise. It's a promise from God. And of course, Jesus fulfilled the word of God. He fulfilled the promises of God. What this looks like in Jesus' life was what you see this in the phrase in the Gospels, that he did this according to the Scripture, in line with God's Word. He did what he did in response to what God had said. And so he was the embodiment of the Word of God. He fulfilled it in every way. All of the promises of God are yea and amen. Yes and amen in Jesus Christ. So it looks like, in Jesus' life, it looked like the Word of God that he had promised in all the Old Testament. And of course, Jesus made that point, and you see this in John. Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father saying. The words that I speak, I hear first, then I speak. I only do what I see the Father doing. Simply join him in what he's doing. That requires faith, to have eyes open to that. And of course, when we hear something that sounds right, we say amen. Or we say, good grief, are you kidding me? I already talked about that earlier. But you say amen. And it's from a Hebrew word that means that's true. I believe it. We say amen. It's a Hebrew word. Greek, it's the same word. Amen. English, same word. Amen. Well, you see this on all four Gospels, but especially in John. Sometimes Jesus will begin to say something and he'll say, truly, or verily, King James, truly I say to you. Sometimes he'll say it twice. Truly, truly I say to you. Which, by the way, that's a great Bible study in the book of John. All of those truly, truly statements that is this. But in the Greek it's amen, amen, amen. We say amen after we hear something. Jesus would say amen before he said something. You know why? Because he'd hear it first and he'd say, amen. And then he'd repeat it. Because he believed it. That's what faith looks like. A promise is given. A word is given. And the response is, I receive that. I believe that. And it begins for us. Everything is about faith. Receiving Christ as Savior is by faith. We are saved by faith. We grow, and we talked about this at lunch today, in holiness. We grow in sanctification by faith. God speaks that word. The Holy Spirit speaks that word of Christ in our heart, and we believe. And then the Holy Spirit does his work in us. But it's all built upon the Word of God. The verse of Scripture we all know, John 3:16. You want to say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes into him shall not perish, but we'll have everlasting life. Do you hear the promise? We'll not perish, but we'll have everlasting life. Our confidence is in what God has promised in His Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever will may come and trust in Jesus Christ. But it's a promise. And that relationship begins with faith. Well, the thing that we see that's closest to us in our world is marriage. Marriage is a picture of the relationship that God desires to have with us. And can you imagine going to a wedding? Then there's the groom and the bride and all the people, and they're so happy, and the pastor says, okay, well, now we're going to make promises. We're going to make some promises to each other. Because that's how the marriage begins. It's built upon faith. That way it can grow. So he looks at the groom and he said, okay, you're ready to make a promise? Your promises? And what if the groom were to say, I don't have a very good track record of keeping promises. You want me to make a promise, then keep it? Well, yes. Well, I don't want to make a vow that I may break. What do you think would happen at that point? I think the pastor would say, okay, everybody, the wedding is off. Be sure to get some cake on your way out. Because you can't have a marriage without a promise that's received. When I do a wedding, I do the groom. I said, okay, are you ready to make some promises? Yes. And so we go through it. And it's a threefold promise. It's repeated. And after he makes a promise, and I tell the bride and groom both this to get them ready. And I say to the bride, I say, he just made you a pretty big promise. What are you going to do with that? And the answer is, I receive it. I believe it. I believe it. And then she does also the same thing, makes a promise. That is what begins a new family. Because that is how we enter into the family of God. By responding to His promise, by believing that what God has said, He will do because He is faithful. Now, with Jesus, we put our faith in Him. But have you ever wondered why God makes such a big thing about faith? It's about faith. And Jesus, in the Gospels, he would see faith. Remember when he was teaching in the house, Mark chapter 2 is one place it's mentioned, and everybody was just crowded in there. And the four guys bringing their paralyzed friend to Jesus, remember, they couldn't get to him because of the crowd. And so, you know the story. They went up on top, took off the roof, and it says that Jesus saw their faith. He can see it. What did he see? He saw an activity. And then Jesus could hear faith. Remember when the centurion, Matthew 8, when the centurion came to Jesus and said, my servant is sick. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. He said, oh, no, you don't have to come to my house. You just say the word. Because I, too, am a man under authority. And I say, this one go, and he goes, and this one come, and he comes. Jesus marveled at so much faith he saw and heard that day from a Roman centurion, for crying out loud. A Gentile. But see, he could hear faith. When the woman with when Jairus came to him and he said, let's go, and they were on their way, and the woman came up and touched the hem of his garment. Remember that story? And then Jesus stopped the whole thing. He said, wait a minute, I just felt some power go out. He felt her faith. He told her, your faith has made you well. He could sense it. He could see it. He could hear it. And that's what it looks like to be faithful. And Jesus is the faithful and true witness. The firstborn from among the dead. The ruler of the kings of the earth. So what does this look like in our lives? To hurry through this message tonight with you. I talk about it this way with our folks. I call it some non-negotiables. We should have some non-negotiables in our life. Here's some things that we believe no matter what. No matter what happens, no matter what doesn't happen. This is what I believe. Non-negotiable. And you can think of it in terms of non-negotiable in about five areas. Prayer, which is worship. Bible training. I know sometimes we say Bible study, but I like to use the word Bible training because that's why we study the Bible, in order to be trained in godliness. And then fellowship, in ministry, serving one another, serving others outside of the family and the community, the world, and missions, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here's your assignment. I want you to think about what the non-negotiables are in your life. What is it that you believe, regardless of the weather? Kind of like a wedding vow. In other words, it doesn't make any difference, for better or for worse. In sickness or in health, it doesn't make any difference. Environment. I've got my heart set on this because I believe. I believe. I have faith. I have confidence. And in our relationship with God and with each other, the family of God. And also encourage people to think of it in terms of four time periods. Daily. Are you with me? Weekly. Monthly. And yearly. What are the non-negotiables in these basic five areas of prayer, which is worship, of Bible training, of fellowship, of ministry, and of missions? And make your own list. Now, it's not a closed list. One of the non-negotiables in my life is each year I revisit the non-negotiables and add one to grow. To say, no, this is what's happened this past year, so my faith is growing. I believe this now, and this is a non-negotiable now. And in one of those categories of either daily, weekly, monthly, or a year time period. What kind of activity is it? Because God has said it. And like the old expression, I believe it, and that settles it. That's a non-negotiable. It's settled. It's settled. That's what that starts to look like in your life. So what is it? What does it look like? How does that transpire? How does that happen in me? How can I have that faith that God is looking for? By the way, I don't think I finished that one question. Why does God make such a big thing about faith? Why is he looking for faith? Why is he listening for faith? Why is that all about it? Our relationship with God is by faith. I'll tell you why. Because God is faithful. That's why. That's who he is. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Jesus Christ is faithful. And so when he hears it, when he sees it, when he feels it from you, it reminds him of himself. And he loves that. God does. He is fully pleased with himself, his son, Jesus Christ. God is. He loves that. And you know that Hebrews 6 is, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And with faith, he is fully pleased. That's so strange to us in our worldly mindset. But with God, he makes a big deal about it because he is faithful. God is faithful. Okay, so how does this transpire in our lives? Well, again, first of all, it starts with a thirst. Back to our verse, John 7:30. Jesus cried out on the last day of the great feast, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Amen. And so it begins with a thirst. You will not be interested in this. You really can't go to the next few steps if you don't recognize how vital this is. How without this, you cannot please God. And he can see it, and he can see the smallest remnant of it, but it starts small, but it doesn't stay small. It grows. Mustard seed, faith, Jesus said. Remember the disciples said, if faith is a big deal, give us more. And Jesus said, you don't need more, you need growing. Growing. And growing begins with a thirst for it. I wonder if you're thirsty for a growing faith. I wonder if you're thirsty for a more consistent thought life, thought pattern. Because your words come from your thoughts. From according to your memory verse this week, Proverbs 21, whatever. I'm looking at you. Yeah, that's it. I couldn't hear, but I think that I read your lips. I think that's it. No, and Jesus even said that when he was talking about the food. Oh, how come your disciples don't walk? It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person. It's what comes out of the mouth. Because that comes from your heart. And, of course, the heart, well, your thoughts and heart were to get together there. And so if you're thirsty, if you're thirsty for that, it starts with that thirst. Then you go to Jesus. According to him, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. You go to Jesus, and you go to Jesus in prayer, in the Word, in the Bible. Because here is the revelation of God in his Son, Jesus Christ. Old Testament promises the coming of Christ. The Gospels present Christ. The Acts, book of Acts proclaims Christ. The letters all the way from Romans to Jude explain what the life of Christ looks like in the life of a believer. I love it. And, of course, the book of Revelation promises his return. Hallelujah. So, we know that the Bible is indispensable, and we know it's Romans 10:7. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we go into the Bible, and the Bible will even create that thirst for you to desire this more and more, in close to a desperate feeling. Again, if this is not vital to you, in other words, life or death, if it's not a life or death thing, ask God to give you a thirst for it. And I won't be able to live without this desire for a growing faith in Jesus. I see him, and I see he had it. He had it perfectly. And I have him living in my heart. I desire that. And then when the Word, you're paying close attention to the promises of God. Because you want to pray the promises. When God makes a promise, he makes a promise, but he's wondering if you believe that. And the way that you can express that faith is by praying it and ending that prayer with thank you. Thank you, God. I don't know when or how, but I believe you will. Why? Because you said it. And I believe what you say, you will do because you are faithful. Every time, God is faithful. And, of course, you can find the longest prayer in the Bible is Psalm 119. You know that, 176 verses. It's actually divided up very neatly into 22 8-verse sections. And the whole prayer, except the first three verses, which is an introduction as to what's going to happen when you pray this prayer. The whole prayer is a prayer concerning the Word of God. It really fits in real well with praying for this thirst and praying for a growing faith, to be faithful. Because it's a prayer which is faith. You believe when you pray. It's the most foundational expression of faith, praying. Because you can't see who you're talking to, But you believe he's listening and he can hear. He can hear you when you pray. And we don't have to pray out loud. I pray out loud to keep my mind focused on it. It helps me. Some people can't do that. But it does help me. But here's what I teach people and have for many years, is to start time, which is one of those non-negotiables, daily. Start your time with God by reading and praying a psalm. That's the whole book of True Worship is based upon that. 150 days of learning to worship the Father in spirit and truth. Read the psalm and then pray that psalm. And there'll be something that will be highlighted in that psalm that you can really zero in on and pray it. We say, well, how do you do that with Psalm 119? Well, what you do is you supplement that psalm a day with one section of Psalm 119 for the week. And guess what? There's 21 weeks in 5 months, 150 days. There's 21 weeks. And so you can take one section of Psalm 119. It's arranged by the Hebrew alphabet. And you can take one. It's a prayer. And it kind of primes the getting yourself started in that prayer time. Because it's God's word that is creating faith as you pray it. And then you go through the Psalms, 150 Psalms, by taking one section as a supplement each week. And good grief, are you kidding me? You can take one verse a day and memorize it and have that throughout the whole day. Because there's eight verses in one section. And as you do, you are believing. You are expressing your faith. And so then, and that's how you get through that long psalm of 119. You pray each week one section of it. And then, of course, as you have that hunger, that thirst, and as you dig into the Word of God, the revelation of Christ, and set your mind on seek those things which are above, and set your mind on things above, not on things down here, a wake-up call will begin to be heard, because God is faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23-24 is a benediction at the end of that book, and I love that one. It says, and now may the God of peace himself sanctify you. That's noon today. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, your whole spirit, soul, and body, so that you may be blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you, wake up call, he who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. We can't give ourselves more faith, but we can put ourselves in the position to see it growing in our life and to be asking for it, believing. I want to encourage you tonight to consider Jesus Christ, how personal he is, how humble he is, how holy he is, how faithful he is. Because as you fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will change you, transform you to become more and more like him. Don't try it on your own. Adam and Eve tried it and didn't work out too well. You can't become like God with your own plan. Submit to his. Trust him. And I encourage you to trust him tonight. Trust him as your personal Savior. Jesus Christ died in your place, because the wages of sin is death. He died in your place. He died your death in order that you might have his life, that God raised from the dead on the third day, so that we could have life eternal now and forever. And I invite you to trust Christ tonight. As believers, I invite you to consider Jesus Christ. If you take the position that I think I've got enough faith, you're making a pretty serious confession that you need it. Don't be proud like that. We need Jesus Christ every day and throughout the day. I encourage us to consider Jesus Christ and the consistency that he can transform us to have. I can tell you this, you will never be the same again. You may make the people around you a little nervous and a little jealous and a little envious, but it's okay, they can get over it. You will never get over it. The revival will be an eternal experience for you, knowing and loving Jesus Christ and glorifying God the Father now and forever. Amen and hallelujah. Let's stand and bow our heads together. Your pastor will be here, Robert. Pastor Houston will be leading us in. But you may need to just pray. And you can pray at this altar. You can come for prayer. You can come, whatever the decision that you believe that God is leading you to make. Trust him. And then watch him do it. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you thanks for the love that you love us with. Thank you, God. We receive it by faith. We thank you, God, for your word that reveals so clearly Jesus Christ and his perfect relationship with you that he gave to us so that we could love the Father with the same love that you love the Father with, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Teach us to pray according to your word. We want to live under that authority, faithful, under the authority of your word. We want to think under the authority of your word. We want to speak under the authority. We want to behave ourselves according to the scripture, just like we see in the life of Jesus. We want that more and more. We know that we will still sin. We confess that to you. But Lord, we want to confess our sin and be cleansed. We want the root to be revealed to us, not just cut off at the surface. We want the root cleansing, a cleansing answer to our prayer. Show us the root of these besetting sins that we keep confessing over and over and over. We're thirsty and tired of doing that. Help us, God. Help us. We believe, help our unbelief is our prayer according to your word. Bless these who share the commitment that they're making according to faith tonight. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Hallelujah. While we sing, you come.
So we're going to be dismissed here in a moment.
pray for one another. Don't forget, we have two more days, noon meals, down in the fellowship hall. And I challenge those that were there today, bring some more folks. We're going to have plenty of food to eat. And then again tomorrow evening, we're trying to prepare meals here so that you don't have to worry with that at home. Just come and worship again. We don't want you to miss anything that the Lord may have for you. So show up and be here and bring some others with you. Let me pray, and then we'll, I guess, one more song. All right. Father, thank you for allowing us to be here tonight, and now for the message that you brought through the servant. Lord God, continue to challenge our hearts. Lord God, thank you for the way that you're moving us to dig deeper and to think on things that are above and not just things that we can see. Lord God, may what is building in us as faith will become evident. But we pray, Father, that we are serious about dealing with this and are growing in our thirst to be more like you. Thank you for challenging us in these days. We pray, Lord God, that your kingdom would be expanded and that you'll be glorified through it. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.